the service so that we can as well charge the enemy lines. And so I just invite you, Lord, to come and do that in each heart this morning. Would you break us out of just anything that would hold us, distract us, keep us from going to the eyes of our hearts, seeing what your Spirit wants to do this morning in us, taking back ground from the enemy. So we just invite you in, Lord, and we trust that you are here with us, ready to fight beside us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome this morning. We have been talking for a few weeks now about spiritual warfare and this idea that we live in the physical world, but there's also a spiritual realm that we were born into. And there is a battle raging in that spiritual realm. These pictures, you may not be familiar with the story of Lord of the Rings, these film clips you are watching, but they're the fairy tales of our times, and they touch, to me, that reality of the spiritual realm that's going on and our need to charge the front lines of the enemy, not hunker down, but to really step into what God has called us to. And we've talked for a few weeks now about the lies that come against us that are basically intended to keep us from taking this stance, right? Aragorn ready to charge the enemy lines, surrounded by the enemy. And God's called us into that setting to be like this in the morning when we wake up, right? Take up our sword and charge. But the enemy, everything he does is to keep us from doing that, right? I don't know about you guys, but I've been thinking about it. And what I would love to know is when they lower my coffin down into a hole someday, one of the things that I would leave behind is the enemy with his jaw open, going, "What just happened to my kingdom of darkness? It's devastated because this man walked with God and he brought the kingdom of God. He brought light through Jesus Christ." That's my desire. And I think that's what God's called all of us to. So we're going to talk a little bit about our realm that God's called us to, this spirit, a little bit more about spiritual warfare, and then we're going to actually do it in the service together. We're going to take some of the lies that we did that survey, and a lot of us said, "Oh yeah, I believe this one. No, this one's just true. It's not even a lie." We're going to take some of those top ones and together break them together in the service. So let's talk a little bit, though, about our realm. Have you ever thought of it like you were given a realm to kind of rule over? And I know that that might make you go, "Wait a minute, I thought, you know, Jesus is Lord." Yes, and we come under his lordship, and then he gives us like a captain's hat. You know, you heard recently the big cruise liner that sunk. You know, you see all the pictures of it sideways, and there's rumors about the captain. You know, he got on a lifeboat and tried to take off, and he got yelled at by the Coast Guard. And I don't want to go into all the details of what really happened there, but it creates an interesting picture for us in our lives. I mean, isn't it like we were born into a sinking ship? Earth, right? And on that sinking ship, as we came to the Lord and came into salvation through him, he then gives us a captain's hat and says, "Now this is your realm. This is your part of the boat. I want you to organize a rescue effort in your area," right? And so that's our job, is coordinating this rescue effort with God, because he's really the lifeboat. He's the salvation. But he wants us to bring that. He wants to bring that through us. And in so many different ways, we react to that by either slipping off into the little boat and rowing away from the thing. Forget that. I'm saving myself. Or we hunker down in fear in a corner somewhere while people are drowning all around us. Or we're completely oblivious to the fact that the ship is going down, and we're looking for a place to find a generator so we can get a TV going so that we can at least have some entertainment on the ship, because it's so boring, you know. We're just on the ship and life's boring. But we're completely forgetting that the ship is going down. So it creates an interesting picture. And as we think about that, we think about what has the enemy's strategy been to keep us from living with that reality, that we have a post, we have a place in this life to bring the kingdom of God and to bring through us, God wants to bring salvation, the message of the gospel. So in order to go after those lies, what we really need to talk about a little bit is repentance. Okay, so there's the sinking ship, and Randy's illustration about the thugs, the enemy and the demons have been set against us to keep us from bringing our full weight to this world. So it's like the ship's sinking, but it's also overrun with these thugs, right? Their main mission is to keep anybody from escaping the calamity, the coming calamity. So if we haven't been doing that, and some of that is due to these lies that we're believing about ourselves, there's a real need as we step forward to face these lies to repent. The repentance. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, they're talking there about a prophecy fulfilled through Christ. It says, verse 16 says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." So that describes the world that Jesus entered into. We're living in the land of the shadow of death. That sounds like a sinking ship to me, right? So Jesus enters this ship, and he brings that salvation. And then what does he say? It says he starts preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we have some repentance to do, all of us, myself. We need to repent of these thoughts, these ways of thinking, these paradigms that we've created in our minds about what is true, about ourselves, about our brothers and sisters in this room, about the world and how it works, what we were called to, what our realm is, and what our authority is in that realm. There's a repentance that we need to go into. Repentance is changing your thinking to be only kingdom of God thinking. Allowing in your mind only what Jesus would allow in his. That's an interesting thought. If you could print out your thoughts, all your thoughts, print them out into a document, and then sit down at a table with Jesus and go through them, what would that look like? What would some of the silly thoughts we have, like, "Dang, Starbucks messed up my coffee this morning. I like it a little hotter, and they put too much sugar in it. My day's ruined." I mean, we say stuff like that, but we're speaking those words, that darkness, out. If we submitted that to Christ, would he go, "Yeah, too bad. I hate it when they do that"? But how many of those little things are we doing? And then there's the big ones. "I can't hear God. Jesus, what do you think about that? I'm not worth pursuing. God, what do you think?" "Yeah, that's true. I did die on the cross for you, but yeah, you're not worth pursuing." So we need to bring these things before God. And basically what that is the renewing of your mind. Remember Romans 12:2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So where does the transformation come through? What brings transformation? What brings transformation? According to God's word. Renewing of the mind. Yes. Starts with renewing of the mind. Okay? And that transformation comes because then you start to live out of the truth. You're either going to live out of the truth or out of the lies. Okay? So what I want to do... Uh-oh. I need clicker help. Can you advance to the next? I don't have the... So let's look at what does it look like to renew our minds. And what action do we take? Because 2 Corinthians says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Thank you. So we have weapons in the spirit. Try to see into the spiritual realm now. If you believe the Bible to be true, the Bible is telling us there is a war going on. The enemy is deliberately coming after you to keep you away from your post and your calling. And you have been given weapons to come against the enemy and say, "No, I will bring what God wants me to bring to this world. You will not hold me back." What does that look like? We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This doesn't sound like hunkering down in the corner with your sword out, so when the enemy's trying to grab you, he might get stabbed. Taking every thought captive, okay, you're charging the front lines. Let's look at a little bit more of the words in that verse, a little bit more of the meaning of those, at the root of those. We demolish arguments, reckonings, reasonings. King James says imaginations. That's just the way things go. Some of these thinkings that we have that come up. So we need to demolish those. And every pretension. Pretension is high thing. What are some high things that we could put against the knowledge of God? Maybe our intelligence. I've got this figured out. What should I do here? Go this road or this road? Well, I can reason this through, and I can just decide that this is going to be best for me. Versus, God, what do you want to come and speak into this? I want to bring the knowledge of God into this situation. Versus the high places, the high things that I've set up in my life that I can rely on before God. Right? He gives us reason, and we use that reason. But sometimes we can put that against the knowledge of God. And God may say, go this way. And you say, my intelligence tells me, my reasoning tells me I shouldn't. So I'm not going to go there. And we set that up against the knowledge of God in our lives. Okay? And we take every thought, mental perception, to make it obedient to Christ. Okay? So these perceptions, these ways of thinking, these ideas about how life works, maybe even about what it means to be a Christian. We have some things that we've set up, but we need to take those captive. That's active. We need to take action on that. So, the question is, what does that look like to take action on that? And I want to suggest that spiritual warfare is very deliberate. Okay? We can mess around with spiritual warfare a little bit. Get away, enemy. Go. Be gone. Or we can be deliberate and shut it down. And I want to suggest that there comes a time in each of our lives where we'll have to make that decision. Am I going to engage deliberately in spiritual warfare? Or am I just going to kind of try to slap the enemy around? Let's take a look at what that might look like. Pretty deliberate, huh? Capacity to spit at back of head neutralized. Right? That's what we want to do to the enemy. We want to have deliberate attack on him and what he's brought against us, and neutralize his ability to spit on the back of our head, which is what he's doing with these lies that we're carrying around with us. Right? So what if it was that intentional? Using that as a picture, what if spiritual warfare was, let's just take a lie for example, I can't put my whole heart into anything. Just, I believe that this is a lie that I struggle with. And does that affect my post as a captain on the sinking ship and what I bring? Absolutely. I'm not bringing my whole heart. Okay. Identify the lie. I can't put my whole heart into anything. Repent of buying into that lie or entertaining it. Lord, forgive me for accepting and living out of that thought. Right? Renounce the lie. Call it what it is. That is not the truth about me. And declare the truth. Let's use one of our memory verses, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That sounds like a whole heart to me. If that's what the Spirit of God has given me as his child, then that's what I can live out of. And that's the truth. Okay? That's the kick in the stomach or whatever. Okay? Worship. Worship and song. Make up a new song to the Lord. Put on some worship music. Worship him by declaring praises to him. I worship you, Lord, for you are holy and awesome, magnificent, and you have created me in your image. The Lord doesn't make junk, right? Sing a favorite song of God's awesome glory. He's made you in his image, okay? He's made me to live out of a full, whole heart, just like him, just like he does. Now advance the kingdom of God wholeheartedly with freedom from any hindrance of false thinking and move forward to live wholeheartedly. And any time that tries to come back, go back to this. You know, and basically neutralize the enemy's ability to spit on the back of your head and tell you that you can't live out of a whole heart. Okay? It can be that deliberate. And it has to be, because the enemy is very deliberate in how he has attacked you. Okay, so we're going to do this. We're going to take the top 15 lies. Randy's going to do 5 of them, and then Jonathan, and then I'll do some. Randy, you can start setting up here. So let's just walk through real quick the four main points that we're making about as you are deliberate to come against these lies. You want to identify the lie of the enemy. What is it that he has made me to believe that is not true? Is this a thought that Jesus would agree with and support? That's the test you can put it up against. Is this a thought that Jesus would support about me? Jesus, can I live with a whole heart? No, I don't think so. Okay? Yes, you can. That's what I called you to. I didn't die on the cross to restore you to life so that you could live half-hearted. Right? Repent of any agreements with or partnership with that lie. You have to repent. You've signed up to believe that, and now you have left your post in some areas. Because you're living out of that. You're not bringing your whole heart. You're not bringing the kingdom to the sinking ship. Okay? Make that lie obedient to Christ, his truth, scripture. Invite God to speak truth and declare it. You know, listen to God. What is the truth in this? Look in his word. There's truth against all these lies. And then walk intentionally bringing the truth of the kingdom.
All right. So the way we do this is we do it out loud. Right? You create like the Lord does. He spoke and it was done. You're in his image, you create the same way. And so you create in the spiritual realm by speaking it out. And so we're going to go through these lies and we're going to break them, renounce them out loud. And I want to invite you to out loud with me repeat what I say and break them, and then we're going to shred them. Okay? So we're going to shred these babies, but let's shred them in our hearts first. And so the first one was, I had 2 number fours when I did that survey in November. I had 2 number fours, which is, remember we had the list of, we did the survey of 31, 32 lies, and it was either you could put a 1, which is I never struggle with this lie, I never wrestle with this, all the way to 4, which is, no, you don't understand, this really is true. And this was one of my 2 4s, and it was the first one that Jeff gave me on this list. Thank you, Jeff. Was you disappoint people regularly. You disappoint people. You feel like you're disappointing everybody. And so we're going to break that right now. So let's bow our heads and then just speak this out where you are. You can speak loudly, you can speak quietly, but you must speak it out because it sends lightning bolts into the spiritual realm and it establishes, it creates, it establishes. So Lord, we come before you now with this lie that I disappoint people all the time. But I recognize this is rooted in the worship of approval. It's rooted in the need for approval and the offering of performance in exchange for acceptance. I need to not disappoint people or they won't want me. I repent of that thinking. I turn now from men for approval. I renounce offering performance for love. And Jesus, I receive your love for me. That you accept me based on your work, not mine. Lord, I accept that your love's not based on my performance. And I receive your love and acceptance based on the cross. You love me. In Jesus' name, amen. See if this baby works. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we had the office one in here before, and it was like... So, and then it died, you know, in the middle of one. So, anyway. So Ken Sandin brought his, like, mammoth one. Right on. Next one is, you are not worth people's time and energy. You are not worth people's time and energy. So let's go before the Lord. Lord Jesus, I've wrestled with this at times. I'm just feeling like I'm not worth much. And I call this a lie right now in Jesus' name. I repent of believing this. I renounce allowing this thought in to root and take hold. I receive that I'm worth your blood. Lord, I receive that I'm worth your time. I receive that I'm worth your energy. Because you so loved me that you gave your only son. That's the truth about me. My worth is determined by you. In Jesus' name. Come on. It's gone. All right. Okay, this one. Is this one of your 3s or 4s? You're really on your own. Truth is, you're alone in this world. You're really alone in this world. Do you ever let that in? Let's shred that one, okay? So, Lord, I acknowledge from time to time I let this in. But I now repent of it. I renounce that I'm alone. I call that a lie. You said, Matthew 28, I am with you always. Deuteronomy 31, that you would never leave me or forsake me. I receive that that's the truth and I give it total claim over my life. I am never alone. and you're with me. And you want to be with me. I receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a tough one. If anyone knew your deepest secret, they would reject you. If anybody knew the truth about you, they would reject you. All right, so let's shred this one. So many deal with this. It's shame. So here we go. Lord, I repent of this isolating agreement. It just separates me from people. You know all of my sins and all of my secrets, Lord. And Lord, you paid for them all. Lord, even before I sinned, you covered my sin. Because you chose me before creation of the world. Lord, Hebrews tells us, by one sacrifice you have made me perfect forever. So your sacrifice works future too. Therefore I'm clean past, present, and future. And though man may reject me, Lord, you never will. In Jesus' name. Unamas. People don't really care about you. People don't really care about you. And people may not. But the person Jesus does. So let's go for that. Jesus, I receive that you care about me. Your death and resurrection and coming for me prove that. And Lord, your care is enough. Your love for me is enough. Lord, whatever man may choose to do, I know your love is steadfast. Its height, depth, breadth are incalculable. And Lord, nothing can separate me from your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, have you noticed that whatever Randy is really claiming to himself comes pretty much straight out of Scripture, right? And so that's what we want to encourage you to do. And with my list of five, I want to share with you one scripture that kind of demolishes these lies. And if you like, you can just write them down if these are the lies that you struggle with. And then start with that. And it's easy to find passages that counter those lies, and read it, ask the Lord to speak directly to your heart through those scriptures until they really settle in your heart and replace your lies. So my first one was, you do not have you do not have anything significant to contribute. Is that one of your lies? You don't have anything significant to contribute, really. Now the scripture passage is Matthew 7:21. That's a story about Jesus saying, many of you come and say, Lord and Lord. And many of you come and say, did I not do these things? Did I not do great things in your name? And his response was harsh. It says, I never knew you. From his perspective, what is significant is here, it says, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not the earthly big things or significant things, but your faithfulness, your love, your determination to follow Jesus. That's what is it catches his attention. So let's denounce this lie. Would you just repeat with me? I'm going to just say, renounce it, and then I'm going to embrace the truth, saying exactly the opposite thing. So, in the name and the power of Jesus, I reject this lie that I don't have anything significant to contribute. Instead, I declare and embrace that I do have some significant contributions to make. Because I'm the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Amen. The next one is, you don't belong. You don't belong. Is that yours? Scripture says in Ephesians, there is one body, one spirit. Just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And when I was reading this, I felt like the Lord said to me, belonging is our deepest desire and drive. And because you are created in the image of the Trinity. So that desire is good. And you do indeed belong to me. You belong to each other. You're part of the body of Christ. So let's denounce this. In the name of Jesus, I reject this lie that I don't belong. Instead, I declare and embrace that I indeed belong to Jesus. And I am a member of his family. Amen. So that's Ephesians 4. Okay, the next one. You're not doing enough to please God. You're not doing enough to please God. In fact, you disappoint him. You disappoint him. Is that your lie? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is, and he rewards those who seek him. So let that sink in. That scripture says that faith is required. Faith is the only one that pleases God. But what kind of faith? Faith that says, yeah, God, you exist. I believe in you and that you are good. He's the rewarder of those who seek him. His goodness and his very existence. If you believe that, then that just pleases God. So let's break this lie. In the name of Jesus, I break this lie that I am not doing enough to please you, that I disappoint you. Instead, I declare and embrace the truth that I am enough to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the next one is, really making a difference is too difficult. Really making a difference is too difficult for me. And scripture is Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. I can do all things through him, through Christ who strengthens me. So let's break this lie. In the name of Jesus, I break this lie that says making a difference is too difficult. Instead, I embrace the truth that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. The last one is, you're not worth pursuing. You're not worth pursuing. Isaiah 43:4 says, because you're precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Imagine he considers you so precious that he will give an entire nation to get you back. You are worth pursuing. Let's pray. In the power and authority of Jesus, I reject this lie that I am not worth pursuing. Instead, I believe and embrace the truth that I am indeed worth pursuing. Because I am precious and honored in your sight. Amen.
Alright, five more here. First one I have is, if you really step out, you will fail. If this is something that you've entertained, just join me in praying against that. If you really step out, you will fail. Lord, I just reject this lie that if I step out, I will fail. Your spirit is with me. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. When I'm yoked to you, I can do all things because you strengthen me. Lord, I choose to walk believing that. Thank you that you're with me. And everything you call me to, you will be with me in that. Amen. You cannot hear God. This one was up there, a lot of us believing that lie. Lord, please forgive me for believing that you don't speak to me. You not only have ears, but you have a voice. You say that your sheep hear your voice. And you know them, and they follow you. You speak to and lead your people. I am yours. You want me to hear you. And I want to hear you. I accept your way of teaching me to hear you. Lead me. I expect to hear your voice. Amen. You will never be a big player in God's story. Forgive me for allowing any diminishment of your plans for me, God. For allowing criticism of your creation. Me, You saw me precious enough to die for me. You fought for me, and now you have special plans to bring your kingdom through me. Amen. Two more. Your situation and responsibilities do not allow you to have a significant impact for God's kingdom. This one was pretty high too. So your situation, your responsibilities, you don't understand. I can't do anything really significant for God where I'm at. So let's go after that. If that applies to you, just speak this out. Forgive me for using this lie to not step out in faith, for avoiding situations that require me to lean on you in faith, to believe that you are bigger than my circumstances and can use me in any setting. Accommodating this thought has kept me from the life you have for me. Right now, today, I reject it. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. The truth is, you can use me for mighty things in any circumstance. Nothing is too much for your Spirit to move in power through me. Amen. Okay, last one here. You cannot break old habits. There are some habits that just you're going to live with for the rest of your life. So, Lord, I just bring that lie to you. The enemy's been showing me that my hands are tied, that my feet are chained, that I'm not free, that your work on the cross was not sufficient. Forgive me for believing that. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. It's Romans 8:2. The first bad habit I break right now is to keep believing this lie. I look forward now, God, to walking into freedom. Would you show me the path to that and the steps to take walking with your Spirit? Amen. Because we know we're going to hear His voice, right? So He can lead you into freedom. Right?
Good. Okay, the worship team's coming up, and we're going to enter into worship now.